Good morning, sir.
How are you? Sure.
I've already made the announcement. They're going to speak besides the construction ordinance of the road to sign up. Otherwise,
what's that now?
I said if they're going to here to speak about the construction ordinance or the road that's on the agenda, they don't have to sign up. If they're
right.
Going to speak about something else.
They say you already did that.
Yeah, I already did that.
Wife. Yeah. Still is, in fact.
Thank you so much. That was great. Appreciate that.
Our buddy. You ready to go?
Let's go.
Good morning, everybody.
You ready to start?
Hate to interrupt your visiting, but we'll call our meeting to order. We'll open with prayer. Jim Strophis will lead us, and then we'll have the pledge, if you'd stand with us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Father, and we thank you for the opportunity to operate and live within the United States of America, Father, and we thank you for the government that's set up by you, and we ask you that you would help all those in leadership in the county, in the state, and the federal government for to help them, guide them in making their wise decisions and leadership. Be patient, be open. Father, we thank you that you are our leader, and you can lead us and guide us through to make all the right decisions. Father, we also lift up John Strahan's family, Maxine, Danny, and James. Father, that you would comfort them as they're going through this adjustment period with John going home. And Father, we thank you that for his time of service here as a commissioner, as a citizen of Taney County. And we just thank you that you would help that family right now in this time. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we've got a list of minutes next on our agenda, 9:18, 9:29, 10:19, 10:21, 10:22, and 10:23.
They all look good to me.
Me too.
I move that we approve all of those.
I'll second the motion. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next, we got accounts payable.
Once again, looked fine to me.
Looked good to me. I got through them all right.
All right. I move that we approve the accounts payable.
Second. Any questions or discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. I didn't see any
general entries or anything.
General entries or transfers. Okay. And Jim mentioned that he had spoke that if you're here to talk about Cedar Shores Road petition or our construction ordinance, we'll do those after our public comment. Don't need to sign up. Do we have any public comment? No public comment. Okay. All right. Frank. Randy.
Here you guys. Here you go. Take
Cedar Shores Ranch Road petition.
Take Dennis.
You want to see the movies
that,
first?
Well, until we get them repaired.
Aerial map, get them zoned in right there.
What you got to tell us?
Cedar Shores Ranch Estates, that's a part of Dave and Cheryl Altus subdivision. There's five roads that they petitioned in there. Two of them are extensions of roads that we currently maintain, Lake Ranch Road and Lake Point Road. And then there's three short roads off of them, two roads.
You can give him the pointer now.
Here's this too.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. He's got the laser pointer right here.
This road right here in purple, we currently maintain. That's part of the subdivision. And then the roads petition would be this road being Lake Ranch Road that connects to Prescott. And this road here that dead ends actually right here, and then short road here, and short road here, and this little short road.
Play the movie?
Yep.
Okay. Which one do you want?
Lake Ranch.
Ranch Road?
Yes. This area here is currently where the county maintenance stops at this intersection, and the road's petitioned is straight ahead.
What kind of surface is this, Randy?
All of these roads are a hot mat overlay surface, 20 to 21 foot in width. Very well maintained subdivision. There's not that many homes in there currently, but several good sized lots. One of these roads that we'll see later, Lake Point Road, is a chip seal surface.
More on this road right here.
All these surfaces right. are a 2-inch thick overlaid.
Okay.
On 2 to 3 inches of base rock with a couple inches of 2-inch clean underneath that. I'm talking with Dave Alves.
How many residents are out here, Randy?
This road has 4 homes on it.
Okay.
Circle Ranch is a road that only has 1 home on it. Lake Point has 3. Lake Terrace has 3. And River Ranch has 3.
Okay.
One question I had, Randy, was you mentioned there's a dead end. Is there a turnaround or
cul-de-sac or hammerhead?
Yes, all of them have turnarounds on them.
Okay.
The Lake Point Road, that's the majority of its chip seal, does have an offset type turnaround. That's currently gravel.
Video just went past a monument type mailbox. Is that see any problem there?
Not at the present time.
Didn't seem to be very close, but.
And what is that road right there to the right? River Ranch?
River Ranch.
Okay.
That's the only.
He just went through the intersection.
On the left is the only bad place I found in the road.
Right there?
Some minor subgrade issues there, and I think part of that's to do with drainage.
Okay.
Ditch line needs to be cleaned out a little bit there.
All right.
Now the road coming up on your left
is Circle Ranch?
I believe it's Circle Ranch,
uh-huh.
And the only home on it is just right there at the entrance.
Okay. How old is this? Is the road?
This surface, all these surfaces in here are average 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
I didn't know we had a road that straight in Taney County.
I didn't either. I'm thinking this, it's amazing.
Gentlemen, if I could interject, we probably have about 20 or 25 minutes of video as we videotape the entire neighborhood. The asphalt, for the most part, is as you see throughout the neighborhood. There are some minor areas of concern that may need to be crack sealed and or patched or removed and replaced. The one road that I think we should view is Lake Point. That one will be different than the rest that we're looking at. So in the interest of time, unless you really want to look at a bunch of really nice roads that seem to go straight, Lake... That's not common in Taney County.
We should pull some other videos up if you've seen some of these roads.
I think they meet all the basic geometry requirements of 20 feet of driving surface, and I have not verified the 50 feet of right-of-way. Have you, Randy?
Yes, there is 50
feet. Okay.
All right.
So,
would you go to the, go ahead and stop this one and go to, what was it, Lake Point? Lake Point Road?
I believe so. For a total of about a little over 2 miles of take-in, Randy, 2.1 or so?
That's all of them combined?
All of them combined.
0.26 and 3.
Lake Point's 4, a little over.
2.39.
2.39?
Now, this section of Lake Point is similar to all the others, 20-foot width, hot mat surface.
The incline is within reason, isn't it?
No, it's pretty reasonable.
Okay.
I believe this is Lake Terrace on the right, and that's right in this area is where the hot mat surface ends.
Is that right? Jim Hughes lives on the right.
Yeah. Saw his name on the petition.
Shouldn't have told me that, Jim.
Sorry. Now, now this section of Lake Point is a chip seal that's average 16 to 17 foot wide.
Frank, is there, where's the concerns or this needs to be addressed?
What I wanted to bring up was that at where several hundred feet back, this road did change in configuration in such that it's only 16 feet wide. And the surface is what appears to be an old chip seal surface, and its condition is not as nice as the rest of the roads we looked at. And I believe towards the end of this road, you'll see, I believe it even gets narrower, and there's the last section of the road is, unless I'm mistaken, I remember it being gravel.
How many homes on this strip?
Yeah, I was looking for that doc. I don't even see the paper on that.
On this chip seal section, there's two homes.
They're at the front, aren't they?
No, one of them's on the hot mat, two of them on the chip seal.
Okay.
You have that sheet right in here.
Yeah, I don't have that sheet on that one. Okay.
No, this is the petition.
Okay.
There's six areas that have been repaired, subgrade failures.
I mean, this is to Frank or Randy. It looks like of all the roads, this is the only road that has any financial dollars with potential to get it up to
immediately.
Is that?
It's 15 to 20.
15 to 20.
Yeah, but everything else looks like it's
basically to widen it out to a 20 foot. There is road bed there to do that. It's just going to take a little material for subgrade and then a finished chip seal surface.
Is this the patch you're talking about?
Yeah, there's about six of these.
Okay.
Okay. While we're looking, I'm going to go ahead and read the petition. Need
go ahead.
To do that. 50-foot width, Swan Township, Taney County. Roads are located in Cedar Shores, Ranch Estates, Phases 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, as per plats recorded in Cabinet G at pages 586 to 587, Cabinet H, pages 31, 32, Cabinet H, page 295, Cabinet H, 302, Cabinet H at pages 454 or 455, Cabinet H, page 572, and Cabinet J at page 216. Official records of Taney County and designated as Lake Point Road, Lake Terrace Road, Lake Ranch Road, River Ranch Road, and Circle Ranch Road. And signatures on all of them, I assume, are in order. I don't see the sheet saying that they've been checked, but...
Okay. Anyway. Have they, you guys remember seeing, checking them?
We have a signature check before I ever review.
Before okay, you even review. Okay.
Do you want to listen to public comment?
This area right here to the left is actually the turnaround. It's kind of grassed in. It's the gravel area. It's an offset turnaround. And the subdivision boundary actually stops. There's kind of a fence row right in here, but that's where the subdivision stops. And then it's a short distance of base rock surface of a public road that connects to Gold Highway at this time.
So I missed the turnaround.
It was back to the left.
Can you back it up here?
Just grab the color thing and move back. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's all right. So there is easement for the turnaround then?
Yes.
Just would it have to be built? I guess I didn't see it unless it was that driveway
actually,
entrance.
Actually, it just has to be a surface put on it. There
okay.
Is, it's just a gravel, kind of grassed in surface.
Is this right here?
We're just making that turn there.
It's right here to the left, just above that motor home.
Okay.
There is a...
Get ready to pause it, Jim, so I can... Okay.
Okay, if you stop right there, that area right here to the left where he's got his pointer, that's the turnaround.
Okay. That's not too close to the house?
Actually, the driveway takes off from just the edge of it.
Oh, pause it now. Okay,
right
I see.
Right here and to the left. Right in here is the turnaround. It's grassed in. There is some gravel on it.
Okay.
It needs more added. And then the driveway actually takes off from the road edge right
okay.
around the other side. It is fairly close. They had it replatted.
Okay.
So it is platted, the turnaround is?
I need to get the plat on it. But it is. I did call and question them on that.
Okay. Before we ask for comments... you got a motion in mind?
I have one in mind. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm. I know that we have our petition rules, but we also, you know, ultimately, the petition's only for a third class county, so we can do what we want on taking roads in. So.
If we're heading to take them, then
yeah, the only one I'm having a challenge, which is the Lake Point, which is the chip seal. Everything else is in great shape, and but then if I look at overall, we're only talking about 15,000 to 20,000 for all the roads, which is minimal compared to if you take all the roads at one time. So. And you're saying the easements are all in good shape. There's 50 feet.
The section here next to Old Highway, that gravel section, which is basically not part of this.
Not part of the petition.
Not part of the platted part of the subdivision, so that would have to be easement acquired to take in that gravel section.
Do we want that?
It would make it a through road rather than ultimately using that offset turnaround. It would make it just another through road that... better access.
Let me do this. Dave, would you like to come, or Cheryl, give us your thoughts, what you'd like to see happen? Or
yeah, I'd be glad to.
Would you? I've got thoughts, too.
Okay.
See what their desire is.
Well, first off, thanks for letting us have the opportunity to have to bring the road before you.
You bet.
Actually, this chip and seal road, when we Tabor Rock asphalt chip and sealed it, back when we did these roads, the 18-foot was considered wide, hard surface was within the guidelines of the county. And we paid for an 18-foot wide hard surface. Of course, sometimes the grass can grow. I don't know how much grass has grown and hit it or where they might have made a mistake or something exactly on 18 feet. But we paid for 18-foot wide. And as far as the reason we didn't hard surface the cul-de-sac as you go out to the left was mainly because the road does go through. Mm-hmm. And there is some questions about how wide the access actually road there is, but it'd be something we need to kind of sit down and talk about.
Beyond
the home there
okay. To
the left. We feel like there's probably close to your 40 feet or maybe more at times.
Mm-hmm.
But that'd be something we need to kind of sit down and talk between the planning and zoning, because once upon a time, that was all platted as 63 feet, I think it was, down through there. But as we was building the subdivision, we had a little opposition with some people. And so we ended up just getting the judge to proclaim a 20-foot width where we drove.
Okay.
Actually, where you saw the base rock, he just said 20 foot down the center of that, 10 foot each way, is the public access. Now, off to the left to the fence, from the edge of the base rock to the fence you see there, either the county owns it, there's the question, the county owns it because we platted it. Okay. That's the section line right there to the left. As you go out, you'll see a post there to the left. As you go off to the left, we own all the way to the highway.
Okay.
Down the old section line. Now, the judge gave some folks a little piece of property between that base rock road, and because the state wanted the access to stay right where it's at, they didn't want the access to this supposedly Lake Point Road now that would be all the way through. They wanted it to be to stay where it's at. Now, the state built that access back in the 50s when they built O Highway. They actually built the access to that road coming out there, which was the best we can understand was called the old Connor Bend Road, that portion of it there. And as you go up there by those trees, there's just a little sliver of property. And I think at this point we own 16 foot when it hits O Highway to the left. And between the road and my 16 feet, where that, there's probably six or 8 feet belongs to somebody else. Now, that would be the only thing standing in the way of having over a 50 foot right away, close to 50 foot right, mm-hmm. I think maybe 36 or 38 feet there. At that one point,
my thought is, Dave, at this point, what we've had drawn in the petition is to stop at that turnaround and let's cross that bridge another day. What we're talking about here that we don't know for sure, because I don't think we can address that.
Right. It's questionable.
Okay. You can live with that, be happy with that.
We certainly would.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd also like to mention that in addition to the existing homes that you see there, there are approximately close to that many lots, again, that are sold. The subdivision is over two-thirds sold out.
Okay.
And so I know that doesn't show up, but wanted to make that comment. So there are a lot of people that do own there.
Okay.
And we appreciate you taking the time to consider this. And obviously, we'd like for you to take everything
over,
and I believe most of the folks that are here are residents there in the subdivision.
So anybody opposed out there to us taking it in?
I have a couple of questions.
Yeah, come on up.
Come on up there.
Because I'm the last house up there, the cul-de-sac is.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of curious about what is going to happen with that.
Okay.
Oh, Dale Christensen,
Dale.
1205 Lake Point Road.
Okay.
And I was kind of curious what's going to happen with that, because either you have the access road through or the cul-de-sac. You really don't need both. If you're going to pave over the cul-de-sac, which is right by my house, or you're going to have the roads, one or the other. Right. And actuality is there is not 50-foot right-of-way up that road.
Right.
Because where this road matches and where it matches with the Casey's property, and those folks didn't want that through there, it doesn't match up. I have surveys here that show that, right, if you want to see them.
That's 50-foot, though, up to your house.
To the it's cul-de-sac.
Up to the fence, there is.
Right.
But once you get past the fence, right, you don't have... The roads don't match up.
So what would the answer to what would happen is...
Oh, I don't really care. One or the other. I mean, I'd either like to see that end closed off so that, because it kind of gets used as people fly through there.
Sure.
Or and put the cul-de-sac in, pave it over, whatever you want to do with that. Or one or the other. Or put the access road all the way through and then not use the cul-de-sac.
Well, for us to take the road in, we have to have a turnaround because we don't have any information about the easements beyond the cul-de-sac?
Right, that's what I'm saying. The cul-de-sac is fine, but then close off the access. You don't need them both. It's got to be one or the other, is what I'm saying.
There'd be a question, I think, in my mind anyway, that we could close it off from what David said.
If you'll never get the right-of-way without condemning someone else's property.
But if a judge has said it's a 20-foot road, we can't close it off.
Okay.
Right.
We don't have the
authority.
The judge rules. So if he says it's a road.
So, but would that ever change then to 20 foot?
We don't. I mean, that's.
I mean, the way you guys are talking, I mean, I don't know because you're sounding like, widening that out, making it a complete thoroughfare, what Dave just said, or leaving that as a 20 foot right of way. I'm kind of getting confused. And my interest is in what's it going to be? Is it going to become a main thoroughfare? Then you don't need a cul-de-sac. If it's going to be, if it's not, there's kind of a question here.
At this point, we have to just leave it the way it is as the 20-foot road or 20-foot easement and do a cul-de-sac if we take it in. And then if we get information, we can find out the easement sizes, then we'd change it to a through road is what we'd do.
Yeah, because a cul-de-sac, there is plenty of easements already there.
Sure.
I mean, I have a survey that shows it even bigger than what they're saying it if you want to see it.
Right.
Because I just had a survey done the other day, July, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, for right now, for what the petition says, we would if we took it in, the cul-de-sac would be built, but we couldn't close the road beyond, just because if the judge has declared it a road.
And we wouldn't necessarily do any changes.
We wouldn't touch it.
Well, that's my question. You're not going to change, you're not going to widen, you're not going to make it a full thoroughfare.
Not unless the road and bridge came to us and said they feel like it would be the right thing to do is go ahead and acquire the extra easements and then continue it on, but that would be a different date.
Okay.
So initially, we would just not touch the gravel part of the road and just build the cul-de-sac so our trucks could turn around.
So basically you're going to end at the cul-de-sac, even up to, because there is, a bit of land between the cul-de-sac and where the property ends. You're not going to widen that to 50 feet, are you? Because it's currently not.
We just need to have our circle wherever the cul-de-sac, I mean, Randy could answer that question, but we just need the driving surface a certain size for us to turn around, right?
But where are you going to widen it to?
The driving surface would be completed to the end of the subdivision.
So you're going to widen that road up there to 50 feet wide?
Just to the fence line would be right in there.
Right, but that's taken out.
That's part that's petitioned.
But that's taken out part of my yard up there.
Sir, the right of way is 50 foot. The surface, we may not widen the surface.
Well, that's kind of what I'm concerned about, how much of my yard you're going to take out and what you're going to do. I'm concerned with that.
Sure, okay.
So that's what I want to settle before.
Where is the circle drive going to be, Randy? Can you point on that thing?
My vision is, if we take this in, we would maintain it as it is today.
Well, that's
we
what
wouldn't
I'm concerned
make
with
any improvement.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, but now, I want to make sure no one's going to come along and take out more of the yard and what have you. And you can, if you want to look at the surveys I just had done, you would understand why my concern is.
I can understand, I think, what you're up against. But we can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow or a year or 10 years from now.
This,
but what we're looking at, in my opinion, is maintaining it.
Let me ask you a question.
Right in here is going to be the circle turnaround.
Okay.
The road would be completed up to wherever the subdivision property line would be. From that point on, it's basically a public.
But the circle drive would be on this side of the driveway.
It's on this side.
Of his driveway.
Of his driveway, yes.
And then we would just take a 20-foot surface beyond.
20-foot surface to this point.
So we would just make that driving surface 20 feet beyond the circle.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's all we're going to do.
Okay. Just want to make sure you weren't going to take and widen the thing out to 50 feet.
No, no,
or
no.
What
no.
Have
we,
you.
No, we would just do, we just need the 50-foot easement is all we ask for, but the driving surface would only be 20 feet. I think you've got it 16 to 18 right now there, so.
Right, and I really don't want that any wider from there. It really wouldn't do any good anyways to widen it from that point from the circle, the right. cul-de-sac on, because it's, you can't, there's a fence there, and you'd be running right into the fence.
We'll just have to look at it. I mean, that's part of the, you know, we, our standard, road standards is a 20-foot driving surface.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we don't want to incur the cost of moving a fence either, I can tell you that, so.
Well, that and that's also private property once a fence has been surveyed.
Right.
Because that, actually, their 50-foot right-of-way when, excuse me, ends at a fence right there.
Okay.
That road ends right at his, the Casey's property.
Yeah, what we would do on the petition is just work within the easement that we have. And if it's within the easement, that's where we'll work.
Mm.
But if the fence is outside the 50-foot easement, we wouldn't touch the fence then.
Right. So you wouldn't have any reason to go beyond that circle is what
we'll
I'm
work
saying.
Within the easement is all we'll work within, if that answers your question.
It doesn't, because the easement goes past the circle. You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
But I want to make sure you're not taking out more past the circle.
The way I see it, if it's a recorded easement, I mean, it's already belongs to the public. And 10 years from now, if something comes along, they have the right to use that. But again, at this point,
you don't see a reason to change it right
now.
We're
not seeing them making any change.
Right. Okay.
But we can't change the easement. Whatever the easement is, I mean, that's just the way it is, and you got to live with it. And we see this throughout the county where things are laid out and they're too close to houses, and we're not going to go in. I don't think we'll go in and change anything that would disrupt you, but we can't promise you because, I mean, it is.
But in the future, it would be, I mean, because you really can't go any farther.
If it's within the easement, then.
But you're talking about the easement at your house. Of us improving that.
The 50-foot easement.
Right.
Right. We can, that's part of the easement. We can operate within that easement.
Right.
So beyond that, no.
But there's lots of easement in the county that is just trees and
Yeah, but my concern is the easement between the circle and that fence.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can't see any reason why you would widen that. But, I mean, because it wouldn't make any sense.
We're not looking to spend $1 more than we want to, than we need to do the road. I mean, I can tell you that. But I can't make I can't sit here and make a promise that we won't do it, because if it's within the easement, we have that right to make it the 20-foot driving surface. But we're not looking for extra work.
Okay.
I mean, I'm speaking for the road and bridge guys, but I think they're listening. We're not looking to spend any more money than we have to.
So pretty much it would stay the same.
That's what it looks like, yeah. I mean, I can't see why it would change, but unless something, they went out there and found something that was just strange, but no, they're not looking to improve that part. And for the most part, we're going to do the turnaround and meet and then be done with it. I mean, that's how I look at it. Randy, is that about what you're thinking too?
At this point in time, yes, unless the road continues on.
Right, which is a later date, different discussion.
Okay.
Could we have your name for the record?
Dale Christensen.
Dale Christensen.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
Are there others want to visit about what we're looking at?
All right, I'll move. Here's my motion. I move that we take in all the sections of roads as presented, which would be Lake Point Road, I believe Lake Terrace, Lake Ranch Road, which has not been taken in already, River Ranch Road, and Circle Ranch Road. Is that all the roads that we've talked about, Randy?
Yes, sir.
As presented?
Five total.
Five total?
Yes.
And Randy's made comment, Class 4?
Class 4.
Okay.
But Lake Point would be a Class 5, is that correct, or is that?
I can't. He's got them all down here as Class 4.
I listed them all as Class 4.
Okay. Then all is a Class 4 road, then.
That's okay. My motion. I'll second your motion.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Ready to vote?
Yep.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, guys. Okay, next on our agenda is construction ordinance.
Well, Frank, you want to say something?
If I could, before everyone leaves, just a comment in regards to as taking in a road that is a Class 4 that does qualify for snow removal and for mowing, just so that there's not a, I don't know if you have a level of expectation of our response in this in a snow event or a heavy storm. We have close to 600 miles to snow plow, and currently to do all those 600 miles, we're on about a 24-hour turnaround. We run two 12-hour shifts. It's more likely that our standard practice today is if we got a snowstorm that, say, it was 6 or 8 inches, we would respond to the roads in order of priority, and we've established that priority on roads that service a higher population base than where you're a residential, rural-type neighborhood because of the population base that's there. So you might see a snowplow on the 13th or 14th hour. You would get plowed eventually, as we're able to do it in a 24-hour period, but just because you're a county road now doesn't mean that the first thing that morning when you wake up, you will see our snowplows there that morning. So that's just one comment I wanted to make. And second comment in being mowing of the roadside edges, we do that also countywide, and currently with about 600 miles to maintain, we're able to at the most do several locations 3 times a year, but it's more common that we do them twice a year. So I would encourage you to help us out and mow your roadside edge if you don't mind, because it may be a couple of months before we get to it. Yes, sir.
Oh, off the record, go out. This is being broadcast on the internet, so. But Frank will be in the hallway.
My name is Frank Preston, Taney County Road and Bridge Administrator. My office is right behind Powell's Pharmacy. And
just across the street there.
Right across the street. You're welcome to give me a call and ask questions, and I'll help you out if I can.
And this is
Randy.
Randy Hayes. He's our coordinator, I believe, is one of his titles.
But I'm glad Frank mentioned that, because the response time, and we last snow event last year, we had a lot of phone calls, and even though you're on the maintenance program now, we still have to deal with the highest maintenance, biggest thoroughfares, and then they do get out to the edges. So, but anyway, thank you, Frank, for clarifying that.
Can I ask you on the record?
Yeah, come on. If you come up with the microphone, that'd be fine.
Name's Kenneth Flowers, lot 62. Question is on the snow removal, what about in the case of medical response and medical needs? We have two people right there in that area that's had severe heart problems and transplant problems. Right now, last year, we were sliding up and down the hill.
Right.
And unless you have a four-wheel drive and or somebody to tow you up the hill, you're not going to make it.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Brian.
Several times last year we had similar instances that you're speaking about, it sounds like. In that event, our office would get a call, and we would help plow that road as soon as we could and make the way for sometimes we're in front of the ambulance, fire truck, or whatever the case may be. But it's a simple phone call to the office, explain what the situation is, and then we would respond to that site based on a life safety issue. So that is taken into consideration, and we will make it a priority at that point in time.
Yeah, I know this year we had a dump truck with sand at the top of the hill, so if it became necessary, we could do it. But at one point, even the dump truck couldn't make it.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
The Road and Bridge Department. The Road and Bridge Department's phone number is in the book, 546-7268. And in snow events, there's somebody there nearly 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Our sheriff's sitting here. You can always call the sheriff's office, and he can help us get a hold of
it. He'll coordinate with us. So
emergency. Yeah,
if it's an emergency situation, when they call 911, we'll coordinate with the Road and Bridge right then anyway.
So they work together good.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks for being here. Have a good day.
Let's let them clear out. Just 30 seconds here, see who's left.
All right. Okay. Next on our agenda is the construction ordinance. And Jim's got a few extra copies if somebody needs to see one.
Does anybody need a copy of that?
Look.
Okay. Here. Frank, would you run those out there?
Yes, sir.
I've got three copies there, I think. Three or four. You want to start or you want me to start?
Doesn't matter to me.
So we just brought this up to everyone who wanted to know about the ordinance that we did pass. There's been lots of questions, more rumors of what it doesn't do and versus what it does do and things like that. This construction ordinance, some people have called it a noise ordinance. The reason I'm sticking to construction is because it doesn't apply to mowers or tractors if you're working in the field. It's specifically to deal with the construction phases of parts of projects. It is from 7 to 7, I believe is the wording, and it's within 1,000, only if you're within 1,000 foot of residential property. So in the less sparse areas of the rural part of the county, if you don't have a neighbor for more than 1,000 feet away, it doesn't apply. It is Monday through Saturday. One thing that we've thought about doing, is making this available on Sunday also. We've had some feedback that people do some work around their place on Sundays for construction. Once again, I'm open to that, to making it 7 days a week. The biggest thing is it's the machinery related to construction, and primarily, I see that a lot more on the west side of the county versus the east side of the county, but it's strictly it all came about where we had some construction sites wanting to work 24-hour days near populated areas, and what we realize is that everyone I would think that would be considerate of all their neighbors, but if they're not, we're going to have to help them be considerate. So that's why we came up with the ordinance. I believe there's a nuisance ordinance anywhere, not a nuisance, but a public, what do you call it, Bob? The 10 o'clock thing. What is that?
There's 574.010, if I just may.
Sure.
It already makes it against the law to unreasonably and knowingly disturb another person by loud noise. The case law has said that after 10 o'clock at night is definitely unreasonable. It doesn't talk about from 7 to 10 o'clock in the case law. However, it's already illegal to unreasonably and knowingly disturb another person by loud noise. And that's all the ordinance does, is make it illegal to unreasonably disturb an individual in a residence within 1,000 feet with loud noise from construction. So if you're not unreasonably disturbing him, you're not violating the law.
Right. That's the reason we did this was just to try to minimize people working after 7 in densely populated areas. That's why we put 1,000 feet, not 2,000 feet or something like that. Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to amend section 2.1 and remove the last sentence, which says any such activity set forth in this paragraph is prohibited all day on Sundays.
Okay.
Remit that, and I'd also like to change the times from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's my motion, and the reason for my motion is one of the comments that I received after we came out with this was summertime. You know, you can work till 9 o'clock very easily, and again, as you spoke to Jim, this isn't just working, but you can do construction. So anyway, that's my motion.
I would have helped you on the Sunday. I'm not ready to do this. That's time. The only reason I say 7 to 7 is because then at 7 to 9 there's almost no reason to have the ordinance at that point.
Well,
because I mean, all we're giving them is an hour.
I've thought about that, and why did If that's the case, why did we do this ordinance?
Right.
I mean, there is some benefit to the ordinance.
No, I mean, really.
To back up. Is there not? There's not. Ooh. Okay. Well, if we'd have known this, we wouldn't have had to go through this whole deal, because the reason we started this, as you said, Jim, was we had folks in a fairly dense populated area that were wanting to work 24 hours. If there was state law
stopping at 10,
stopped that, then we went through this without much use.
You asked me to work on an ordinance that would address the situation.
Right.
And specifically, Commissioner Strahan had a lot of concerns about even passing one, and I did my best to make it as unobtrusive as possible. And as I said, all it does is it outlaws unreasonably disturbing people in a residence with loud noise from construction. It doesn't say you can't do outside construction after 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock at night. You can still do that, as long as you don't do it in such a way that it's really loud that unreasonably disturbs people in a residence. So I put that in there at your request to be as unobtrusive as possible. I think that it's probably, whether it's enforced or not is another matter, but it's illegal, as I stated in 574.010, to unreasonably and knowingly disturb another person by loud noise. It doesn't specify a time in the statute. However, the case law has talked about 10 o'clock at night. And I guess what you've done, long way of explaining it, by having this, you've told people that if you unreasonably disturb people after 7 o'clock at night with loud noise from construction, that they will be violating the county ordinance, so that you'll give people an extra 3 hours in the evening to not be disturbed. The closer you get to 10 o'clock, the less good the ordinance does. It's up to you whether you believe that you need it or whether you believe that it's a good thing or not. I'll draft whatever you want me to draft. So,
the reason that I would want to stick to 7 is just because of in the densely populated areas on the west side, kids go to school early. And they go to bed. I know some kids in that specific subdivision that we're kind of talking about, they go to bed at 7:30. And to be explained what was taking place at that same job site at 10 o'clock at night, no one slept. So that's why I wanted to stick to 7. I mean, once again, you can get variances for all of this. I mean, that's the how we worded it, is that if you want a variance for a house that you know you're going to do machinery work and all that, and you've got a good reason to come in, we'll give a variance for the whole project. That's why I'm fine with 7 days a week.
Sheriff,
you want to come up?
Comment?
One of my questions on the variances is, how long is it going to take for a man to get a variance?
If we're out working and doing construction, or somebody is, and they have a breakdown, Say they're pouring concrete walls, have a breakdown, they can't get it done until later on that evening. Are you all going to be able to give a variance within just a couple hours?
Actually, I believe on the emergency, it doesn't specifically state in here, but there are two kinds of variances. One says special conditions and says any such variance may be granted by the county commissioner's discretion. The commission may include any special conditions with the variance. Oh, there's two different kinds of variance, and one is on emergency situations. I missed the right paragraph. Temporary variances for emergencies, 3.1. Exceptions to this prohibition may be granted in case of urgent necessity in the interest of public health and safety, and then only with a permit. I've lost my spot.
It says right, only with a permit from the Taney County Commission,
which doesn't require a hearing, which they could give you a permit pretty quickly.
Okay, so see, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say it doesn't require a hearing.
Well, it doesn't talk about a hearing. Down below in the other one, they require a hearing. Upon application for a variance pursuant to Section 3.2, a hearing shall be scheduled. It doesn't say that for 3.1. So 3.1 was designed. And a sentence can be added, but it was designed so that a hearing was required for a variance for the entire project under 3.2. It doesn't say that there's a hearing requirement for 3.1, and there's not a hearing requirement. I mean, if there's an emergency, the commission can quickly vote on the matter and and allow you an emergency variance. It's the variance for the entire project that you have to have a hearing on. Okay. I was given a task, and I tried to be as unobtrusive as I possibly could.
I understand. I just, you know, it just...
Let me ask you a question, Sheriff. On whatever the ordinance was, or the statute that Bob mentioned, if the Sheriff Department gets
on
a call...
On peace disturbance?
Peace disturbance, and it's a condition where they're building a new structure, and they're making too much noise, what's going to happen?
We will ask them to quit. We will send it to the prosecutor if they refuse to quit. And that's the whole thing, though. The key to that is we have to receive a phone call.
Right.
Of a complaint, which is the way it should be.
And that's what would be
but a police
the same
officer,
here.
We can't just go out and say, well, you're being too loud, because
right.
we can't be a victims of a peace disturbance.
This
right.
is the same
let me finish, if I may. So you get a call, it's too noisy, you go out and you can talk to the construction people, and you ask them to quit. And if they don't, then you go to the prosecutor.
Right.
So they could continue working for how long?
It's going to be
a long time.
Real short time.
Or a short time the prosecutor would rule, and then you'd have
something like that
authority.
If it's a continuing problem.
What time do you use according to your policy right now as far as...
10 o'clock. And, you know, you can have people complain that their kids have to go to bed at 7:30. You can have people complain, well, I work midnight shift and
right.
I have to sleep during the day.
Right. No, you're right there.
You get a lot of calls, I'm sure.
It's just... This looks to me like this is stepping outside of where we need to be.
Well, okay. Again, my comment is, I didn't know we had a 10 o'clock until just recently, and we went through this process of doing an ordinance. We were trying, the whole motive was to address a construction company that was going to work 24 hours a day, and that just, didn't feel like it was a reasonable thing.
You know, we can address a 24 hours a day deal, but... Whenever we was building houses, we started 6 o'clock in the morning. There were a lot of times we didn't finish till 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
Especially if you're drying one in.
Right.
You know.
But if you got construction equipment hammering or beating around at midnight, that's unreasonable.
Right.
And that's
right.
That's why we went to this effort. But what I'm saying is maybe we didn't need to go to this effort. Rick?
Just listening, I'm trying to listen to both sides, and I think I understand what you guys are trying to do, and I appreciate that. But it sounds like that you've got as many people who are going to complain about having to stop work at 7 o'clock as you do people who are going to complain about somebody working after 7 o'clock. And most of the time, if those people are reasonable when they get together and talk with each other, I mean, you know, I've worked construction too. If I was working next to a house, I'm probably going to make sure that I'm not offending them, something like that, and you know, I think probably most of your construction people would be that way if it's outside of those normal hours. I think maybe you may be just jumping on something you really don't need to. I don't know.
I agree with the word most you used, and planning and zoning, we went out and talked to this construction company, and the message I got, it wasn't their first hand, but the message I got was ignoring us.
Well, you said you didn't have an ordinance to stop me is what he said.
Okay.
Well, he probably didn't know, and you know,
we didn't know. We had a state statute that could stop.
If he's disturbing peace, and you've got it, and you've got a
you
complaint,
shake your head,
you've
Bob.
Got it.
You never mentioned that to us. I mean, we've been through this. I didn't know it. Did you?
I okay. thought I did, but maybe I didn't.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sir? Robert.
Robert Craig, Walnut Shade, Missouri, for the record. I appreciate you addressing the Sunday issue, because I mean I go to Sunday school myself, but I'm sure a lot of folks don't. But well, I should go to Sunday school. Let's say it that way. One of the other things that concern me is the counties and other entities are allowed to make noise, and, you know, the private individual isn't. I mean, is there a reason for that?
Well, this ordinance only, and Jim mentioned this, is only on construction of a building.
Construction right. projects.
Okay.
I mean, you can go out and cut firewood and split it and...
I can't. You might. I can't. Well,
you can make noise.
Okay.
And from what we've heard, there's state statute that if you make too much noise...
After 10
you're
o'clock.
In trouble with state statute.
Right.
But... And our we had concerns that yeah. you can't work after right. 7 or you can't yeah. work after 10 or something, and that isn't it at all.
Right. Now, work. One of the things that I'm just looking at, you know, a local issue over there where I live is, you know, they're developing that Emery Creek area over in mm-hmm. there, or it's been through P&Z, let's put it that way.
Right. Right.
And the local folks that live right there, you know, they're real concerned about the racetrack and, you know, racing there, the noise it puts out. And I think one of their intents is for maybe some concerts or something out there. You know, they got to do something to pay for it, you know. Now then, I mean, the way I read what we're doing here is they can't make noise to build it late, but after they get it built, you know, they can go in there and just have them a good time, you know, and, you know, just a few things like that that kind of jumped out at me.
Right. And again, the whole motive was construction company, yeah. and that's all we addressed. We yeah. didn't talk about, I mean, there's been lots of discussion about fireworks after 10 o'clock or, yeah. or theaters or this or that and the yeah. other. We didn't
I do there. Most of my dynamite in underwater, so I don't
okay. We're having fun anyway. What's next? Where are we going to go from here?
Well,
Rick's got another comment.
No, not on that. Are you finished with that?
No, we've got to
well, we
do nothing or do something.
Let's hold off until... Oh, Bobby.
I'd like Bob Clay happening. It don't matter what time you set the time to stop working. When the people go to loading all the equipment up, you're going to have another hour of noise anyway.
Sure.
You're going to have the ramps dropping and the front end loaders being loaded and all this kind of thing. So if you set it at 9 and it's at 10 before they get out, or if you set it at 10, it's going to be 11 before they get out, it's dark every night in the summer by 10.
Right.
I like the idea at 9. I helped Bill for about 12 years, and I know we made a lot of noise. And we tried to get out before dark. So it don't matter when you set it. It's going to be another hour after that. But if you're on a big job.
Right. Appreciate it.
Can I just clarify? I believe that under this ordinance, you could work around the clock 24 hours a day as long as you didn't create loud noise that unreasonably disturbed a person in a residence.
Right.
So everybody keeps talking about having to stop work at 7. That's
if no one complains,
case.
You just keep on going.
Okay. How about a second to my motion? Oh, he's shaking his head no. All right, motion dies.
I move that we extend it through Sunday, though. Go Monday through Sunday.
Take the Sunday provision out.
Take the Sunday provision out, so it's 7 days a week.
Well, that puts me in a dandy spot.
Well,
you get what you want, I don't get what I want.
Compromise.
Half.
You get a half. That's my motion.
I'll motion to table in.
A second.
Aye.
Aye.
How long is there a time limit on the table?
No, ma'am. Okay. Hard heads. But. Okay. We've got a little more business. Rick just brought us.
All right.
Ozark mailing, we need to approve a warrant for $11,000 for the collector.
Actually, that Linda was going to bring that up at 11:15. We did vote on the table. Yeah, it's a mail-in. It's a mail-in.
Yeah, and she came in, when he came in Friday, she needs to have a check for him before he'll mail those out. And he was gracious enough to take the letters, but said he would not mail them out till he got a check. She needs that. Get that to him so he can mail those out. That's tax bills, what it is. So,
right.
You know, we know it's an appropriate expenditure. I don't see any problem with it. You know,
well,
Sheila would tell you she just wished she had got it done in an appropriate manner so it had gone through regular process.
So, you want to wait or you want to go ahead
well,
and do it?
Well, the problem is if by doing, I mean, I too late now, but this is how we were going to justify the mail person. was this expenditure.
Okay.
So, but it's too late for that, I believe. So, that makes sense?
I know what you're talking about, yep. But I don't understand the whole story.
Well, I don't either. I was going to find out because I just found out about this bill when I walked in here at 9 o'clock. So I just, the first time I saw that.
Okay. I just saw it at 10 o'clock.
Well, Linda showed me a copy of it, and I said, well, bring it in 11:15. Right. And, I don't know if it's answers you could give. It's more questions with Sheila because we've been trying to have this mailroom person for discussion for about 4 weeks now, and we have not been successful getting everyone in the same room. And the whole purpose of justifying the mailroom person was so that we wouldn't have these large expenditures and we could have it done internally as well as other services to the county.
Can this wait till 11?
Sure can. This wait till I tell you that I mentioned one of her girls. I said, how many mailings? Because I kind of wanted to know what it was. And they told me that it was less money per piece to use this company than it was if they did it themselves.
Okay.
So I'm that I you know.
Okay.
You this is wait till 11.
Yeah, this is wait till.
We got purchasing staff departmental meeting at 11 o'clock.
It's. I mean, they're already prepared, are they not, Rick? I mean, everything's prepared, ready to go.
They took
everything.
Friday.
Yeah.
The young man that came in to get those.
So it's really.
Friday, he said he would not mail them out until he had a check.
I'm disappointed that we couldn't get this resolved before today, and I know we tried, but it just didn't happen. We have no choice. Actually, I don't like being in this position. I move that we approve the pay, the $11,000 for Ozark mailing.
Okay. I'll second. Questions, comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Any other business? Let me gather my thoughts here. Okay. I guess we'll recess.
Okay.
And meet with Nikki. Or we won't even need to recess, or do you want to recess?
Don't have to. We'll recess from this meeting if you guys stay around just administering it.
I'm sorry?
Oh. Nah.
That's okay. Nah. All right. Thanks for being here. Yes, ma'am. So I need to sign it here, too? Commission approval?
Yes, you sign there and then sign the warrant.
Here's this. You want this? Does Chuck need to sign something?
I don't think so.
And that's from the ones you approved. You approved them all this morning, all the accounts payable this morning?
Yes.
I didn't hear that. I'm still holding 3 checks from the past weeks.
Which ones are they?
We got an HMN,
yeah.
Springfield Engineering, and then this money from Line Chip.
HMN?
Have you
money?
Contact?
I don't have it.
Oh, Money Magazine.
Yes.
These are all Chuck's.
Okay.
Yeah, they have to.
Okay. Just let me know.
Let me see what you're waiting on.
HMN and Springfield Engineering, and then that money.
LaCroix? Yeah, I know what that is.
None of them is very high. I don't think HMN.
We're going to bring it up in executive with Bob. If you
want to spend it just like it's my own.
I know.
If you want to come back for the executive, that's fine.
I don't want to run $300. I've got a lack of it right now.
Okay, well, we'll give you that.
I haven't got paid for 6 weeks.
Thanks for your help, Jim.
Yes, sir.
I don't remember what the Springfield Engineering is.
It's a bill. It's a bill that we have no reason to pay. We have no idea why they're billing us.
I mean, I'm happy to void them all out
and
put them back in, so.
Renee has the details? Yeah, what is it? What was it? Remind me.
I'm Bobby.
It was under warranty.
I guess
I'm hanging in. You don't
okay.
Let me know void or mail. I mean, it doesn't have to be today.
Okay. We need Renee to come in so we can get rid of one of those. All right. Okay, Nikki, what do you got for the week here? Well, you get a chance. Let me just talk about Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, we have nothing on the agenda, so that there's nothing to cancel in regards to the funeral. But specifically Tuesday, this may be in question anyway because it's going to rain. So would you confirm? I mean, Danny won't be here.
Danny won't want to be there.
Danny will
just
cancel.
I called John Heiser, and I asked him to cancel. He just hasn't called me back
okay.
yet.
Okay. Let's go ahead and cancel that. Okay. I really think if we could move...
I've already canceled animal control.
You did cancel it? Okay. We just got to get it in here some during the week.
Right, right. Now this meeting is still...
That's fine. That's James's.
Right.
We'll try to get Jim. Let's just fill up Friday because Danny may be ready to work again Friday.
Okay. Is James going to be here Tuesday, you think?
I doubt it.
Can't imagine. Well, maybe he will.
Now, why don't you talk to who's his right hand person in the office?
Yeah, a couple different people. Depends on what the subject is on. I'll go talk to him.
Administrative wise.
Linda.
Go talk to Linda and see if we want to reschedule that because he's okay. not going to be. I
may
doubt
not even thought of it. So.
Yeah, right, right. See that
okay.
on that.
Is that, do you know, is that the folks here in town? The Villa GIS people?
No, I don't think it's these. No. Villa GIS is another, is next week.
Okay. Yeah, we need to get on that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's this week. There it is. Villa GIS. It's a Friday.
Okay. So yeah. This, who knows who these people
what is?
I had scheduled him for next Monday at 11.
That's fine. If
so
he's good. If he's, good with that, that's I'm good with that.
Okay.
So. So basically, full day. Is there anything here that Danny would want to sit through? I mean, my motion here is going to be to table for 30 more days here on the Tiger Grant. Sick leave policy, Bob's got it done. Payroll schedule, which we can decide that. Delegates is a final, just a formality. Delegates, Sheila. I think we're good. If you clear those two off of there Tuesday, and if you want to add core whenever it's dry. Is there something else you want to talk about?
At 11 o'clock, it's something that I have upstairs. It's
okay.
Legislative priorities that was sent to me.
Okay.
So you don't have anything at 10 then?
No, she'll just come back at 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's your pen. So here's your pen. I guess we can recess till 10:30 if you want to.
Okay,
I had an administrative thing for you, so you can listen in. It's going to get technical, so bear with me here. Yeah. I'll talk slow if I have to or use bigger pictures. A good thing.
Let's go.
So now you dial from anywhere in the courthouse. You just dial the normal number 1417 if you're dialing to Branson. The phone system now takes off the 417 and dials it local through the airport. So what you're going to see now is people aren't entering long distance codes anymore. So that remember that expenditure we did 4 or 5 months ago that was whatever, it's actually working.
Hang on now. You have to go slow. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that if I want to dial from the county office,
uh-huh.
I have to dial 417 or I don't have to if or you, I can do it either way?
Either way.
Okay.
If you do it, because what we wanted to do is make sure that if someone didn't know not to dial 417, that it automatically took it out. So what you're realizing now is no long distance codes,
gotcha.
And it's working quite well on Friday.
Okay.
So let me tell you what we're doing now, a little bit different here. And here is over the airport. And this is where I need your approval. We've kind of already said we're doing this, but I wanted to make it a formal approval or a buy-in here. Right now, when you dial from here,
yes, sir.
Okay, you're gonna have to pay attention for this is from the Forsyth here. Okay, it goes through CenturyTel, okay,
mm-hmm.
and then goes out the airport side of it.
Right.
Okay. What was happening that we knew was going to happen was it was showing up on the receiver as the airport phone number.
If you took the phone call.
Yeah. Well, either call ID said airport. So if you missed
right.
the call, you're going to call back to the airport and say, what do you need?
Right.
And it wasn't. So I asked CenturyTel, and they said, we were expecting that. So we have a new number that we've given, that we're putting part of the bill. They weren't sure if it was part of that overall price per month, but it was $28 for another phone line. Okay.
That was what I was going to look for here. There's an email that talks about a phone number. Yep. Is that what you're talking
yep.
about?
And that's the phone number. But I wanted to tell you why it's also kind of cool. Let me go to Friday. It's 339-1900, I think. Let me get it here. Here it is, 332-1900. 332-1900 now. The reason that's important, Chuck, is that now, once we do the next step, which we haven't done yet, our plan is to post this phone number in the Yellow Pages. So if you're in Branson and you want to call Forsyth, you can just dial 332-1900 and it'll ring over here to a phone tree. So it's because we set it up to go one way, but we can also make it bi-directional. So what we're doing now is the next step is to create the phone tree. So if someone, we're going to post this in the phone book. And so when you dial that number, it's going to hit a phone tree. Press 1 for county clerk, 2 for this, 3 for that. So that way people can toll bypass back to us, so be free.
Cost more?
No.
A couple of days ago, I got a couple of calls from 332-something or
other. 1900.
So I called it back and got Terry at the airport, and she said, well, we didn't call you.
Yeah, no, that was before we got the new phone number. This dial back right now doesn't work, but they're working on the phone tree to make it, but it won't cost us any more.
So, well, you didn't know you was going to get that?
I did, but I wasn't ready. I was going to explain it all at one time because we still have to work on the phone tree, and which is Tammy, Gary, and Dave Wilcox at CenturyLink are working on that phone tree to lay out press 1 for what department, press 2 for what. They're working on that right now.
And then, just out of argument, my understanding was that you had worked this out where when we called out it was going to be free. But that it wasn't going to be free for people to call.
Well, until I get this phone number.
But you got it.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so that we'll be posting 332-1900 in the phone book. So it'll say, if in Branson or Hollister or Ridgedale or whatever, dial 332-1900 for free. So it's a service. I mean, since we're already going free that way, we can go free both ways. So,
but it's only Branson numbers.
Well, anybody wants to dial, if it's local free.
What I'm saying is if you're in Rockaway Beach, it's not going to be a free number. Or if you're in
Rockaway, I think it's
Harrison or Springfield.
It's free. No, it's not. Yeah, it's free in Branson West, I believe.
Isn't
the 338 number's free? Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't Rockaway on the Branson system though? They're on they're on their own and they're not on Branson or Forsyth.
I think they're by themselves.
We drug through that.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to give you this, the buy-in for that. Just to let you know about this. We weren't sure.
Great.
Awesome. You're fine with that.
Because no negative, is there?
Well, no, I just don't know. Right, without me pulling the contract up, I think we had the $26 for that phone number, but we're adding a phone number.
Oh, so it's costing us $26.
If it's not already in the contract, I think it was.
Gotcha.
I'm good with the $26.
Absolutely.
It saves a lot more money. So, okay, that was the only thing I wanted to make sure you were new. But anyway, from now on, you're going to see 332-1900. That's the courthouse.
We need to, when this is all for sure absolute deal,
mm-hmm.
Is it for sure absolute?
Well, it's working one way right now.
When the phone tree is done, then it's all done.
Then it's all done.
And we need to let folks like the City of Branson,
uh-huh. Yeah,
Hollister.
We'll do a press release, and then it'll be in the phone book, too.
Yeah.
So the Yellow Pages, they're holding the Yellow Pages right now for us so that we can, Tammy's working through all that.
Do you want me to add that to my circle? It's Verizon now.
Yeah, might as well. That would be 332-1900, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah, so that's we'll have that up and going in the next 30 days or so. So.
Okay.
All right, that was all I had for... Okay, recess till 10:30, I guess,
10:30,
sir.
Yep.
All right.